Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
So yesterday for dinner, I made, I think probably my second ever roast chicken. I feel like I have accomplished some sort of monumental feat that maybe people will have accomplished earlier in life. But
you think cooking a chicken is some kind of monumental event?
And you know what? It's not. You just
thaw it.
Put salt and pepper on it and put it in the oven.
You gotta put a little bit more than salt and pepper. You gotta put some herbs under the skin?
I didn't do that.
Blasphemy.
It was delicious, though.
Sure.
You know what? It tasted just like a rotisserie chicken.
I was gonna say, instead of roasting your own chicken, like that's what you did, right? The whole bird.
Roasted
the whole bird, not like the thighs or the breasts. No, whole bird in there.
Yeah.
Why don't you just pick up one of those rotisserie chickens at the front of the grocery store like a normal person?
You know what? All the lead up to this, I had to like take it out at a certain time to thaw it.
Yeah.
And then I thawed it a bit longer in some water in the sink. And then you had to pat it dry. And then you had to flip it over and salt and pepper everything. And then I was just worried, right? I didn't want to like give us food poisoning, but I didn't want to dry the chicken out. It's stressful. They make it sound so easy, but there's a lot going into it. And I could have just bought a rotisserie chicken.
I have mastered a lot of chicken recipes, but I'm still scared I'm going to blow it and give my whole family salmonella or something like that, right?
It's a risk.
I always am so worried when I cook chicken, which is why I go to those rotisserie chickens. I love those things. Like, if they were $20, then no. But they're still only like $9. They've been the same price for, what, 30 years?
It seems like it.
I love those. The thing is, too, the smell hits you in the face right when you walk in. They're always right at the front by the deli
area.
That's
how they get
you. It's how they get you. You smell it. You see the, oh, it's only $9. Oh, why not get three? They just sit in your fridge for like 3 weeks. You slowly pick at it.
But see, here's the thing. Now that I've roasted an entire 6-pound chicken, also, that was the thing, is getting to it for dinner last night, it was like carving a turkey. And that's a lot of work.
A chicken is kind of like a small turkey, so yes.
But now I just have all this chicken meat and I didn't really anticipate, like, what am I going to do with it?
Man, 1 a.m. snacks. 1 a.m. snacks. You wake up, you just slowly pick at it.
I guess.
Just make sure no one sees you, though, because you look like quite the greasy person, just crushing chicken right off the bones at 1 in the morning. Hey, look away from me. Don't look at me.
My aunt, she loves the rotisserie chicken. She thinks it's a great deal. She does the same thing. She picks it all apart. She actually freezes it, thaws it later, whatever.
Wow.
She has determined Costco has the best ones.
Ooh. They're all the same. Come on.
Clayton,
They're all the same.
Some are bigger, some are juicier, some are more flavorful.
You know what? Doesn't matter what's on the outside, Stacey, okay? It's what's on the inside that counts. And all chicken is basically the same on the inside.
There's nothing inside a rotisserie chicken. It's just empty.
You just buy it. It's just the skin. It's just nothing else inside. Just chicken skin. Ooh, $9. Still a great deal. Thing is, I'm glad they use rotisserie, like the word rotisserie. There's another word to describe rotisserie, and it's spit roast.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Rotisserie sounds fancy.
Rotisserie sounds awesome, fancy, delicious. Spit roast. No. Like, if I go to my buddy's house and it's like, yeah, we're having chicken spit roast style, I'm like, okay.
Gross.
Bye.
And now it's time for another edition of That One Friend.
We all have that one friend who gets really mad when you don't help with the cleaning, but they also get really mad when you do help with the cleaning because you do it wrong.
There's a good chance this friend was an old roommate. Maybe you even ended up marrying this friend. And this is your life forever now. You want to be nice and help out, but you just make more work for this person with your awful cleaning skills.
Now, 97% of the time, it's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with the way you clean. This friend's standards are just way too high. In their mind, they are the Wayne Gretzky of cleaning, and you're just the Bill Ranford sitting on the bench.
Even something simple like wiping the countertops, you will screw up, according to this friend. You're supposed to use a circular motion when you wipe the countertops, and you only let the cleaning spray sit for 1 minute? You're supposed to let it sit for 5. I'll just do it.
That's this friend's go-to line. The, I'll just do it. The first couple times they say it to you, you feel super bad. But after 3 years of that I'll just do it bullshit, you're like, okay, sweet, I'm gonna go to Jimmy's. See you later.
Doing the dishes with this friend is the all-time worst. They have a whole dish system that they just expect you to know somehow. Two plates in, and they just take over the whole operation. Just let me do it. Whatever.
Raking the leaves? You do it wrong. Dusting? You do it wrong. Vacuuming? You do it wrong. Don't even get me started on washing the walls.
So instead of driving this friend crazy with your pathetic cleaning, you just let them do it. You don't even offer. And somehow, that makes them even more angry. It's at this point you turn into Ryan Gosling from The Notebook and they're Rachel McAdams.
What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want? What do you want?
I have to go.
The clean freak. We all have that one friend. Come home on Sunday after doing some errands. What's on my front doorstep? Nice loaf of bread.
A loaf of bread.
Like a nice artisanal bread from Stacy's husband, Sean.
It's cooked in a Dutch oven.
Ooh.
Cast iron Dutch oven. I don't know if that makes it more special. I feel like it has something to do with it.
See, here's the thing. It's really fancy bread. And the first thing I did with it, grilled cheese.
Yes.
And I kind of feel bad. I feel bad, though. Like, with fancy bread, you got to do, like, the oil and vinegar kind of thing, right?
Gosh, no.
Or you got to make bruschetta. That's what I always feel like when I have fancy bread. And when I waste it on grilled cheese, I'm like, oh, man.
No, wait. It is not a waste. We make grilled cheese with that bread all the time. It's fantastic. Toast is good. Dipping it in soup is good. Yeah. Just eating it plain is good. Bread is good.
Not going to lie. Ate half the loaf yesterday.
That's completely reasonable.
After you eat half a loaf of bread to yourself, you're like, figure it out, man.
It's just so good.
You just look at yourself in the bathroom mirror like, come on, man. You're just disappointed in yourself.
See, here's the thing. Bread, we've talked about this before, got such a bad rap when the whole Atkins diet came out and bread was like the worst thing ever. Bread has made a comeback. Bread is now acceptable. But what is so wrong with it? It's just flour and water and yeast and salt. Those are all very normal things.
Separately, yes. Like on their own, those are fine.
But then why is it so bad?
You put them together, Stacy. It's the devil food.
I guess.
Devil food.
When you give food as a gift to somebody, you're so proud of it, right? It's like, here, I made this.
Mm-hmm.
Have some. And what if they don't like it? And you just keep gifting them that.
Well, for picky eaters like me, that's a big worry, right?
Yeah, that's why I checked.
Is he gonna like
it?
Like, is he gonna like this? It's bread, though. Like, everyone loves bread.
That's true.
Even though bread is the devil because it has gluten. If you have celiac disease, then absolutely, bread, awful, stay away. But some people just think bread is this monster.
Yes.
It's not. Bread is your friend, guys. Bread is your friend. But if someone gives you food as a gift and you don't like it, you have to tell them.
I guess, hey.
You can't lie to save their feelings because they're probably going to keep doing it. And they're going to keep giving you their awful dishes that are over-seasoned, and it's probably not going to be great. It's going to make the relationship really awkward. You got to tell them that their food gift is trash.
And that's hard.
Very hard to do. Oh, you're just breaking their dreams.
Especially, like I said, when the person giving it to you is like, here, look, I made this salsa. And if it's gross, you have to put an end to it, right?
Right, because then they're just going to keep giving you that weird corn and mango salsa. And it's like, okay, Debbie, corn and mangoes don't go together, okay? I don't want your salsa. Stop trying to pawn your salsa off on me. Or you could just lie, just keep hiding that salsa and keep having that awkward moments until you finally snap and tell Debbie that her salsa sucks after 10 years.
Or you could just regift it. Pass along the corn salsa to someone else?
Yeah, but then you're the awful food gifter, and you don't want to be that person. I think we've all been in this situation before. You wake up before your alarm, like an hour and a half before your alarm.
Oh, geez.
At first, it's a great feeling, right? You're like, boom, I got an hour and a half left to sleep. Let's do this. Don't go back to sleep. Don't do it. Just wake up. You're already up. You're up at that point, right?
An hour and a half of, if I can get another hour and a half of sleep, I am taking it.
But you don't get another hour and a half of sleep. You sit there and wake up every 5 minutes updating how much time you have left to sleep. So at first it's like, okay, hour and a half, let's go. 5 minutes later, well, what time is it? Okay, I still got an hour and 25 minutes. That's still pretty good. And then it's like, okay, an hour left. I've been up for half an hour just checking the clock. Okay, I still got an hour though. That's not that bad. You do that right up until the alarm. or until about 10 minutes before your alarm, then you actually fall asleep. You get super groggy and tired.
That's the worst sleep.
It sucks, right? Like your timing's all off, and then you wake up and you're like, I feel like I've had no sleep. Like,
see, that's the thing. You miss that crucial fall back asleep window.
Mm-hmm.
It's like milliseconds. If you look at the time, you have to very quickly close your eyes and go right back to sleep, or else you fall into that horrible cycle of the every 10 minutes thinking you've slept in. That's that's what happens to me. It's like, oh my God, my alarm. Oh, no, everything's fine. Oh my God. Oh, whew, that was close.
See, with our weird hours, sleeping in, nightmare. Like, for some people, sleeping in, whatever. But for us, it's like, ooh, we got to get there. You
know?
We
have so much to do before we start talking that, actually sleeping in is not a good thing.
That's why I sit there like I did it this morning. Woke up at like 2:30 and I'm like, I got an hour. I'm good. I sat there. Like, at one point, I was like, all right, I got 46 minutes. I'm good. And then I was like, okay, I got 44 minutes still. I'm good. I tried to fall asleep for 2 minutes. Didn't work. Like, just wake up at that point.
Might as well.
Do something productive. Have a coffee. Read something. I don't know. But don't kid yourself. You're not falling back asleep.
There is a bit of a trend happening across Canada, and that is that big cities, Toronto, Vancouver, that sort of thing, are experiencing a record-breaking loss of people as urbanites are moving to smaller bedroom communities.
Maybe because it costs like $2,500 a month to rent an apartment in those cities.
Oh my gosh. I remember that being in Saskatoon where it was like, houses are cheaper in Martinsville or Warman.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to a certain point, and then those bedroom communities become like part of the city.
I've always had that debate. Should I move to Warman or Martinsville, or like in Aberdeen, in Asquith, in Osler? Like, one of those towns? Langham's another one that's getting pretty big. Like, do you move to one of those towns because you're going to save like 20, maybe 30 grand on a house? It's going to be a bigger house, bigger yard, you know, more of a quiet community. Or you just buy a house in the city for $20,000 more, and you're closer to everything. You don't have to worry about that daily commute.
We have thought about that before, too. It's like, well, yeah, we're going to save a bunch of money by moving, but then your gas for commuting, all your appointments, that sort of thing. I don't know.
I think it's the lifestyle. People are attracted to that small town lifestyle, and I am one of those people. I wish I was from a small town. I feel like I am from a small town. Like, whenever I hang out with my small town friends and my farm friends, I feel like I fit in a lot better than with my city slicker friends.
Why don't you just tell people you're from a small town?
Because I'm an honest person, Stacey. I would never tell
a lie.
I'm
from the small town of Lakeview. But, where's that? East of Saskatoon?
East Saskatoon. East Saskatoon, yeah. But that's the thing. Like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? In my head, I always think about the same situation when I'm thinking about moving to a smaller town 10 minutes outside of Saskatoon. Well, what if I'm in the city having a good time with my friends? We want to get an after party going.
Yeah.
Well, I got to drive all the way out to Aberdeen to get home. No one's going to want to go out there. Like, you're never going to host a party again if you're the only one of your friends that lives out in a small town.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if you have three or four of your close friends there, then it's a great idea. But if you're the only one, like, everything is in that big city and you move away, I think that's tough. It's a tough adjustment for sure. If you've done that move before, Saskatoon to Martinsville, Saskatoon to Warman or wherever, let us know how it was for you. 306-938-0963.
And if you are somebody, you know, who doesn't want to leave the house, is a total hermit, small towns may be for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, like, it'd just be tough to, like, figure it out. Like, with the gas and everything. People try to figure out the gas and the mileage compared to the mortgage rates and everything. They really dissect it. I think it just comes down to the lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't worry about the dollars. Worry about the happiness.
Aww.
We're getting very philosophical here on Cruise today. A lot of talk about minimum wage on the old Twitter machine over the weekend because Joe Biden, he wants to raise the minimum wage in the States. And he wants to, like, double it. He wants to raise it to $15.
Yeah, from like $7-something. That's a significant increase.
So if you have Twitter, you probably saw nothing but minimum wage tweets over the weekend. Like, that's all Twitter was. NFL stuff and minimum wage stuff. And somehow the term burger flipper, someone popular on Twitter said it, and they were like, I can't believe burger flippers are going to make $15 an hour. And then burger flipper started trending on Twitter, and people started throwing that term around. And
they just mean someone who works at, like, in the service industry.
An entry-level job kind of thing, you know? That's what they mean. And it's amazing to me how many people are so against that minimum wage increase in the States. Like, people think it'll just destroy everything. Like, the sun will not come up tomorrow if they raise the minimum wage. And to be fair, it's an aggressive move. Like, more than doubling the minimum wage?
Yeah.
That's going to have some side effects, a trickle-down effect, if you will. But I think it's the right call because the minimum wage in the States right now is gross.
Oh, my God. It's so low.
It's so low.
The average...
so low.
Nice one.
Thank you.
The average minimum wage in Canada, by the way, average is $11.
That's not bad. So, ours is right around there, right? In Saskatchewan, it's like $10.98 or something?
Yeah, just about 11, yeah.
Yeah, so let's just say 11.
So we're average.
We're average, whatever. But like, it's just so funny how people went from praising these kind of jobs, the minimum wage jobs, you know, like the fast food worker, the janitors, those kind of things. Right when the pandemic started, everyone was just praising them. Frontline workers, essential workers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now... 9 months later, it's back to, oh, they're burger flippers. They don't deserve it. You can't just go back on your word like that.
Stacey and Clayton, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Cruise.